It is a stressful time for many reasons, but the election looms large for many right now. And there's been much focus this election cycle on young people, who they'll vote for, if they'll vote. Dr. Kurt Dewar is Associate Vice Chancellor for Health and Well-Being at Washington University. Thanks for being with us.
I'm happy to join you. Thank you.
College students are often stressed out for a variety of reasons, but are you seeing on campus any general uneasiness about politics? Is that playing a role right now?
Absolutely. There's a couple things that are playing out in the American public. The American Psychological Association had a not too distant poll that suggested about 73% of adults in the U.S. are stressed about the upcoming election. The Pew Research Center had something that they did that was quite similar that suggested about 65% of Americans are feeling exhausted when thinking about politics, and that really about 55% were just feeling angry. And the surveys that have taken place across the U.S. on campuses have suggested quite similar numbers. So about 65% of students on campus are feeling pretty stressed or anxious about the election. And about half of them said that they're engaging in politics or political dialogue at their colleges affected their mental health. So as we look at the world against a huge backdrop of inflation, several levels of international unrest, political divide, especially during close-fought election season, that tends to trigger a lot of sleep loss, shortened tempers, obsessive thoughts, increased mental health appointment usage, drug and alcohol use, and even kind of elevated levels of depression and anxiety. And that tends to be just as true for our college students as it does for the average person across the U.S.
And as we found, sometimes it doesn't even matter if people are on opposite sides of in different political parties. Sometimes people are
right.
Beefing with people in their own party on different sides of an issue. So
it's
gotten kind of heated. So how do you help students with that?
Well, there's a number of things that we're trying to do. I mean, one, at the university, we've really got some targeted initiatives to try and figure out how to be able to help students navigate some of the difficult engagement. And as you mentioned, college is stressful enough. It's sort of part and parcel to the educational opportunities that students engage in, that they're going to be stressed out during their learning and in their growth and development as they try to ingest ideas, expand their thinking, incorporate new readings and new research and so forth. And so we're not only trying to help them overcome that, but also trying to help them to prepare for some of the things that are going on in the outside world as well. So there's a couple of interventions that we've engaged in. One, our counseling center, known as the Center for Counseling and Psychological Services here on campus, under the direction of Dr. Tom Bronk, has stood up a couple of things where they're preparing for students to be able to come in immediately after the election, but also working with students leading up to the election to try and figure out how to be able to help them, help their stress levels, and help them engage in some more healthy practices. And so we've tried to be able to give them some ideas and strategies about what they can focus on, how they can control their ingestion of the very algorithm-based social media that's primary goal is to keep them engaged. And also trying to encourage them to pay attention to some things that we see as pretty basic. So, for example, it's not uncommon for me when I lecture to be able to talk about eating, sleeping, and exercise being really some priorities that everybody ought to attend to. But when I say those things, nobody takes any notes because we already know that those are important things to do. However, most of us aren't really good at all three of them. We're usually good at one or sometimes two, but recognizing the impact that sleeping and eating have on our stress levels, our academic performance, and other things are sometimes downplayed by our students and by people in general. So we're trying to be able to help them understand some of these things that they can do and watch the way that they engage with the political venue so that they can modulate the degree of stress that they're feeling.
Obviously, free speech and expression are important everywhere, but especially on a college campus. But students getting triggered or maybe getting into arguments or fights about politics does just add to that stress we're talking about. So is there a middle ground? Is there a way to sort of tamp it down without stifling free speech?
Oh, absolutely. I think actually part of what you're talking about is really quite critical, is both to the educational process and to our political dialogues. At the university, we're really trying to encourage people to be able to have those dialogues. And while the prospect of having conversations with people can be alarming, and it's not just that that one uncle that comes to Thanksgiving that, you know, you get into those discussions with. But oftentimes it's just having dialogues with people who think differently than you do. And one of the things is people that we're not really great at is being able to engage in the discomfort that comes along with disagreeing with people. And certainly there's a couple of programs on the university level here that are really geared towards trying to help people to engage in those. So there's one called Dialogue Across Differences that's coming out of Student Affairs at Washington University that is trying to help people to engage from an empathic understanding viewpoint about what somebody else thinks. And this is as applicable to the political landscape as it is to any other ideology that people might think differently on. And so for us to be able to grow comfortable with the discomfort of engaging with others who think differently is also part of the educational process and growth. So, again, we want people to be able to have free speech, be able to open up and have dialogue with each other. But hopefully, as our chancellor likes to say, to be able to disagree, but not be disagreeable in the process.
I imagine employees of Washington University, whether professors or staff, they're likely feeling election anxiety, just like the students are. Any advice that you give them or could give to any of our listeners who are feeling a little stressed out at the moment?
A couple of things. One, for the professors and folks here on campus, WashU Student Affairs Division has dedicated some training time in a recent meeting to be able to help the employees therein recognize some of their own boundaries and their limitations. Because while we want to get better at being uncomfortable and having difficult dialogue, sometimes when we have reached our limit, it's okay to step back and to take a pause and recognize that sometimes, you know, your own emotional intensity can get in the way of the way in which you're trying to be able to have these dialogues. So I'd say watch for that. And again, Student Affairs is trying to do that. We're also trying to encourage people to watch the degree in which they're catastrophizing. So in other words, both political parties at this point have sort of positioned this upcoming election as the fight for the future of democracy, which is pretty polarizing for folks to think about that. And if we're thinking about this in these catastrophic sorts of ways, it tends to exacerbate the stress levels that we're feeling. One thing I'd encourage people to do is ask, how likely is that? And what's the evidence that we have that the ways that we've catastrophized are actually true? The other things that we can do are to try and create de-stress or relaxation time. So be deliberate. If people like to read, read for the fun of it, not to zone out necessarily. Or if you like to watch TV, do some of those kinds of things that bring you sort of a peaceful presence. And I'd encourage people to think about things that bring them into the moment. Enjoy the fall weather. Watch the leaves fall from the trees. Do things that help you to de-stress and relax. And then as you engage in conversation, think about ways in which you might actually try and understand where the other person's coming from. There are a lot of smart people on both sides of the political spectrum who think differently for very explicit reasons. And to understand why people think the way that they do can often help the intimacy in a relationship, even though you might not, at the end of the day, end up agreeing with them. Make a healthy plan for election night. You know, it's quite likely that we might not know the outcome of the election on election night, but plan who you're going to spend time with and how you're going to manage the ambiguity that's going to come out of that, and make peace with the fact that you can't control the outcome. You can vote, you should vote, and do the things that you can. But at the end of the day, we don't have total control.
Dr. Kurt Dewar is Associate Vice Chancellor for Health and Well-Being at Washington University. Thanks for the time this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.